This ain't Mario Lopez talking about Tom Brady and Giselle. I think Arians is showing a little bit too much respect for Leftwich.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, who presents the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Bill Curry Ford is a true Tampa tradition for the last 60 years. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. Get to BillCurryFord.com before you shop anywhere else. BillCurryFord.com. No payments till summer. Nationwide lifetime warranty. General Manager Sean Sullivan ready to serve you any possible way he can. BillCurryFord.com.
You guys know me. When you're born in Brooklyn, you grow up on those mean streets, gentlemen. It's tough to intimidate the sage. I stood up to him. I think he liked that.
Yeah. Buccaneers fans, the game is finally here, a critical mid-December game, and who better to talk about it with than the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the custodian of Canton himself, the king of Newport Richey. Ira Kaufman is his name. He's Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here, and we're fired up for episode 2 of the podcast this week. It's presented by Bill Curry Ford, as always. We got a lot to talk about, Ira. First, how are you? I know you got some things in your craw, and we've got a lot to get to.
I'm confident, Steve. That's what I am. I'm confident that the Bucks, now Lee, I want you to listen to this very carefully, that the Bucks will end their doldrums of the third quarter and come out fresh off a bye week against a team, an inferior opponent, and put the Vikings in their rearview mirror and basically end this 12-year playoff drought by going to 8-5. And I'm certainly not worried about the Bears and the 49ers, who are each 5-7, catching the Bucks if they go 8-5. So I'm not too worried about that. And the Vikings would be 2 games behind and lose a tiebreaker. So I wouldn't be too worried about them either. I'm confident now, Lee, before you enter the fray and say, hold on, Ira. Lee, I'm the same guy that told anybody that would listen to me a month ago that the Bucks are going to crush the New Orleans Saints, and how they've been waiting since game one to get back at the Saints, and it's a favorable matchup, and, you know, the Bucks are 6-2, and they're playing very well, and they're going to do a job on the Saints at Ray J, and we all know how that turned out. But Lee, the Vikings are not the Saints, not even close. And they got Dalvin Cook, who's going to get his 25 carries. But Lee, you know why I'm confident? Because I can't even think. I can't even think about the alternative, which is dropping to 7-6 with 4 losses in the last 5 games and nothing changing off a bye week. And Lee, that is a script for disaster. And I don't care if you're playing the Falcons twice and Detroit. That is very, very shaky, and I think their playoff chances would be very, very vulnerable. So, no excuses, Lee. I'm confident. Bucks over Vikings. What do you say, DeKemper?
Well, first off, have you been back on NFL radio since you proclaimed the Bucks were going to pound the Saints?
I told Vic Carucci it's not even going to be close. They'll never have me on again, Lee. They'll never have me on.
That's what I thought. You haven't been on that station. You blew your credibility. Look, I, you know, people are going to get mad at me. I can easily see this because I don't think the Vikings are the Jets wearing purple uniforms. I think the Vikings have talent. Vikings are hot. Maybe it's just my twisted vision. I don't think the Vikings are that bad. I hate to go against Bill Parcells, but, you know, their record doesn't say what they are in my eyes. So I could easily see the Bucks losing this. And you know what? Given the last 13 years, the Bucks need to prove to me why anybody should be confident in them. Actually, I'm confident in them finding a way to lose, given the 13-year history. So I hate to say that, but, you know, I've been this way ever since they got clobbered by the Saints. Show me you're a playoff team. Show me you can beat the Vikings. Until then, I doubt it.
Hey, isn't this the type of game precisely why you go out and get a Tom Brady with the biggest game of the year coming up and him playing an average defense, and you expect the guy to put up 34 points. And speaking of Brady, I will get this out of my craw, Stephen. I got Brady fatigue with the local media. Guys, if you're listening to me, if you're listening, stop with all this nonsense that belongs on Access Hollywood. I don't care if Brady put down $1.2 million on some kind of a boat or a yacht. I don't care, DeKemper. I don't care how Brady feels about the Tampa Bay weather on December 10th. I could care less. This is a football podcast, DeKemper. This ain't Mario Lopez talking about Tom Brady and Giselle. Let's focus on football and stop with the nonsense about home violations and who's living in Brady's house and him buying a speedboat and how he likes to bask in the sunshine. How about going out and throwing for 320 yards and three touchdowns, DeKemper? How about that?
Well, I'd like to see it, but Ira, Steve and I are we believe in inclusion. We don't believe in exclusion. We believe in inclusion. People are interested in the personality of an international superstar like
you. Can include me out, DeKemper. Include me out, DeKemper. Include me out.
Well, I'm sorry to say that, Ira, but you know what? There's a reason why Greg Cosell's excellent X's and O's show is on at 5 o'clock in the morning and not 7 p.m. in prime time.
Ira, let me give you a different spin here. I agree with you. I agree with you, Ira, except Tom Brady's happiness in the sunshine and his interest in buying property in Florida and being the new Florida man and all that stuff, that's all relevant to him staying with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and being part of this team.
Yep.
And when you got a 43-year-old quarterback, that's always in question. So it's not like he just came here and he's 33 and he signed a 5-year deal. His return next year isn't something that he won't even talk about. So I think any hint that he's happy and wants to be Mr. Florida Man, that I think that's relevant.
Wait, didn't he say he wanted to play till 45? Why is there a big question about whether he wants to play for the Bucs in 2021? Why is that a question?
Because he might not like it here. That's the whole point. Yep. So anything that says in December that he likes it here is good news. It soothes us, Ira, as we prepare for this game that I'm afraid to almost watch. Yeah, I wish it was Sunday already, but it's not. Ira, I want to mention, before we get going, before we really get humming, you had a great column this week on the passing of Ray Perkins, the former Buccaneers head coach. This is a man that you knew, a man you told a great story about multiple times, and it's right in your column. If anybody didn't read it, it's there at joebucksfan.com. The Sage looks at back at Ray Perkins, the man who hired Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick with the Giants as young coaches. Now that's a coaching tree right there, Ira. I enjoyed the column. What do you want to say about Perkins?
Well, I'm the only guy that covered him in two different locations, Steve. That's number one. I'm also the only guy that ever covered Phil Simms and Chris Simms. So you know what that means, Lee? I'm old. That's what it means. But I was one. I think I might be the only guy in the Tampa Bay media that Perkins actually liked. And they had a PR guy back then named Rick Odioso. And I think he works NFL broadcast. He helps out. He works at the Lightning games. He's still in the Tampa area. He told me several times because he was the PR guy in the late 80s. He goes, Coach Perkins likes you. And he said it incredulously. Like, you know, he doesn't like anybody. And maybe it's because, you know, we went back to the Giant days. And, of course, I lost track of him for 5 years. And all of a sudden, he walks through the door at one Buck place. He didn't have a lot of friends, guys, in the media. 1 year, guys, I think it might have been after his first year, which was lousy. He had a party. He had some kind of a pool party at his house. And I remember, the old crew, Nancy Dinellen, the fabulous sports page. She was involved. She went. Fred Goodall, and who's still around for AP. And, you know, it was good to see Perkins in a different kind of setting. Of course, he got divorced 6 months later. that ruined that. But
I thought you were going to say, I'm so glad you didn't. I thought you were going to say it was good to see Perkins in his bathing suit.
Well, I can still remember those hamburgers were a little overly done. So I stuck with the hot dogs. I never thought he was an ogre. You know, a lot of people had no use for him. Of course, he was famous for the three-a-days, mid-August, University of Tampa. What are you, crazy? And And I love the quote from Ricky Reynolds. Lee, I don't know if you saw it, but I asked him, he was a second-round pick in 87. And that was Perkins' first year. So one of the first guys that Perkins ever drafted in Tampa was Ricky Reynolds, instant starter as a rookie. And so I asked Reynolds the other day, what do you remember the most about your first meeting with Perkins? You know, maybe 2 days after you were drafted, they brought you into Tampa, you know, to introduce you. He goes, those little beady eyes, Ira, those little beady eyes that look right through you. Perkins was famous for that stare, Steve, and he intimidated a lot of guys, but you guys know me. When you're born in Brooklyn, you grow up on those mean streets, gentlemen. It's tough to intimidate the sage. I stood up to him. I think he liked that.
Ira, no payments. No payments until summer at Bill Curry Ford if you buy a new vehicle. And that's the summer of 2021, not some sort of backdated 2020 summer scam. Everything is fantastic right now, as always, at Bill Curry Ford. Proud presenters of your work on the podcast, on your great columns. And everybody really should go read that Ray Perkins column. You know, a head coach of a team dies, Ira. You got to pay a little tribute to him. And I think you did a very good and timely job there. And of course, only you have been to the pool party. So Sean Sullivan, the general manager there, Sage, he's been a Bucks fan since before Ray Perkins was a head coach. You know, since he was a little tyke, Sean is ready to help Bucks fans, our listeners, everybody, as best he possibly can. When you're shopping now, it's the end of the year. You want the best deal, the most amazing deal. It's right there at Bill Curry Ford, on top of their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles, their family service for the last 60 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, right there on Dale Mabry. Get to BillCurryFord.com.
You know, Lee, Perkins passing on Wednesday and what happened in the aftermath. I think, Lee, it's another example of how Joe Bucks fan is flexible. We have added podcasts that were not planned when events, justified it. And so I had a different column in mind Wednesday morning, and I find out that Perkins had passed away. And, you know, I felt I was in position, you know, having covered him at two different venues, to add some insight. And I called Ricky Reynolds and got his perspective. And Lee, that's another example, I think, of what we do that not a lot of Buck sites are capable of or even willing to do. And I think that's an added bonus for our listeners and our readers. He was one of a kind. Now, Lee, I'm going to ask you this, and I mentioned it on the Mad Dog the other day, and I find this incredibly ironic. Lee, you've watched a lot of football, almost as much as me, and I really can't remember many times, Lee, where a coach has been fired after a victory. Lee, that doesn't happen very often. That doesn't happen. Can you remember a lot of circumstances like that?
Outside of the end of a season, when it's already predetermined the guy's gone.
Right.
Not often, unless, and I emailed you this, by the way. This is a great story. This is a great story, although it's not Bucks related, but it's journalism related. Unless the guy had some kind of confrontation with the owner, and that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. The guy who used to be the beat writer for the Cardinals, St. Louis football Cardinals, back in the 70s, Don Coryell had a really, really ugly loss in his last year with the Cardinals that knocked him out of the playoffs. And it's one of the games I've told you in private conversations that I cited should be Exhibit A. He should never be in the Hall of Fame. And apparently, Coryell wanted out of St. Louis so bad after that game. He got so fed up with the fans. The fans were on top of him that he called the beat writer up at home. The beat writer's son put this on Twitter. Coryell called the beat writer up at home at 10 o'clock at night and said, I'm going to give you a story because I want Bidwell to fire me.
That's a hell of a story, Lee. That's a hell of a story.
And it worked. The next day, he was fired. The story comes out in the morning, he was fired that afternoon.
I wish, Steve, I only wish Cutter had made that call to me on December 10th, 2018. I only wish.
It's funny. When Lee said that, that's exactly what I was thinking, Ira. Exactly. And and you wrote the story to get rid of him, and nobody listened to you.
I threw Light in the mix, too, Steve. I threw him in there, too.
There you go, Sage. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer. Bring it to any holiday gathering that you might go to. Tell your family to pick it up. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. It's available all across the state, all across many other states as well. And of course, they are right here, born and raised in Clearwater and in Pasco County. You've got their tap rooms in Odessa and the beautiful, big, new, remodeled tap room in Clearwater. The 3,000 square foot covered yet outdoor area. That's where the Sage will be watching Bucks games, road games with fans, as he's done all season long. There are two more left, Ira, Sunday, December 20th, and then Saturday, December 26th. And we expect there to be a big road game playoff party as well. Their food is great. They are great. And it really is the best craft beer. You got to try the Bromosa for the holiday season. And they've got their Dunder and Blixum Spiced Ale, the specialty beer for the holidays, and so many others. Get to bigstormbrewery.com. Sage, you know, I was worried about you, worried about your diet, because, you know, December 20th is Fan Appreciation Day at Big Storm Brewery. And we know that our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration are going to be there buying everybody a beer from 12 to 1. And then we got the game and it's lunchtime. And then you got Christmas. And then the 26th, we got another game.
I'm going to fast for 2 days going into that December 20th hoedown. You know, and Steve, it's been a while. It's been a while since we all gathered at Big Storm in Clearwater, a little south of Overton on 49th Street. And I miss it. I got to get back with my peeps. I got my regulars over there. Even the waiters know me. People are buying me drinks. They're buying me ribs. They're buying me Cubans. And I can't wait to get back there. We're going to have one heck of a time when the Bucks play the Falcons. I can just see Matt Ryan being a sitting duck. Oh, plenty of time to discuss that game. Lee, I can see 3 sacks for Shaq Barrett that day, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Lee, if they shut down Dalvin Cook, the Bucks are going to win this game. How do you like that, Lee? How do you like that?
Ooh. Well, obviously they want to shut down Dalvin, but what scares me is those receivers. You know, Bucks pass defense hasn't been that good the past month, and those receivers, especially that rookie Jefferson, he's dangerous, man. But I would almost rather have Dalvin Cook gain 100 yards, because I think the Vikings are more lethal through the air, even with Kirk Cousins. And Steve had an excellent article on JoeBucksFan.com earlier this week that Cousins is pretty darn good against the blitz. And oh boy, what does Todd Bowles like to do? This whole game scares the living daylights out of me. Of course I want the Bucks to win badly. I just, you know, in my gut, which is not exactly small, I just get the feeling the stars are aligned for the Vikes. I really do, and not aligned for the Bucks. I hope I'm dead wrong, but gosh darn, I'm scared about this game.
You know, Steve, that's an interesting take. The Giants, when they played the Bills, Steve, in Tampa in that Super Bowl, the wide right game, and I forgot the name of that Bills running back. He's in the Hall of Fame. Thurman Thomas, and of course, you know, Jim Kelly led that lethal attack. I think they scored 50 points. In a playoff game a couple of weeks before they met the Giants. Yeah, and Belichick, I believe, at that point was the defensive coordinator for Parcells. And he said, he told his team, hey, if Thomas gets 100 yards rushing, we'll win the game. That's what he said. Very interesting that Lee would say that Cook gets 100 yards, he'll take his chances. And it all worked out for the Giants. Now, Otis Anderson had a big, big day on the ground. Steve and the Giants controlled the clock for like 35 minutes. That could be a strategy for the Bucks. I say again, I think Ronald Jones has to be a central figure on Sunday.
Ira, that's definitely not a strategy for the Bucks. However, it was interesting in that Super Bowl. I believe the Bills in that Super Bowl actually set a record for time of possession. And of course, they should have won the game, but they missed a field goal. But I don't think that's what we're going to see at all. I mean, the Bucks just want to start fast, get a lead, and maybe actually force the Vikings to not use Dalvin Cook as much and sort of neuter him that way and have to play comeback. But I got to run this past you, Iris, since it's not specifically about the game, but it's a broader topic. This was just too juicy, and it needs your wisdom because it throws a whole giant curveball into what we've been talking about with the Bucks offense over the last couple of weeks. First, Ira, people might be thinking, Florida's Elite Restoration, who is that and why are they buying me a beer? And I get it. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the name they need to know when they have a disaster in their home of any kind, fire, wind, whatever it is, but mostly and most commonly water and mold. That is who you have to call immediately 24/7, and you're going to get 24/7 response. That's your first call because you don't want to get into the mess with your insurance company out of the gate. You want some good guidance. They will come and give you a free assessment of what's happening. And we invite anybody in the business, property managers around town and plumbing contractors, air conditioning contractors, the people who actually work in homes and find these situations. They work with so many great ones, and they can come on out. If you're in that industry and you want to talk to Florida's Elite Restoration, they'll be out there. They'll buy you a beer, maybe a sandwich too, and talk some shop. So it's an exciting day, December 20th, Sunday, right there at Big Storm in Clearwater.
You know, Steve, if you're a resident of the Sunshine State and you own your house for any length of time, it's not a stretch to think that at some point you're going to have to deal with water damage. It doesn't mean it's going to be a calamity, but it's going to be an issue. And if that happens to you, and it wouldn't be a rarity if it did, your first call is to Florida's Elite Restoration. You make that call before the insurance company comes over because you want to get an assessment, an honest assessment of what's going on. But if it's major, you can't waste any time. So get Florida's Elite Restoration to handle the job, and you will be very satisfied with the result.
And I know you love to talk Bucks football with the boss there, Josh Martin. He's got some things for you, Ira. He's going to needle you on...
I can handle it. I'm looking forward to seeing him when the Bucks travel to Atlanta, and we'll all be at Big Storm.
Now, Sage, who is arguably the number one Buccaneers insider out there, a guy who is in one buck every week breaking down film for the website? He's an icon. He's close with the Glazers. He's close with the coaching staff. He's known Bruce Arians since he was a little kid. Who is that guy?
That guy would have to be Rondé Barber.
Correct. So Rondé Barber jumps on with J.P. Peterson on his radio show this week. Now, Barber hasn't done an interview in ages outside of anything for Buccaneers.com. It's really been all season that he's been in hiding. And, of course, he comes out with J.P. Peterson versus somebody who could actually maybe have influenced a Hall of Fame voter nationally. But that's a story right for another day. Anyway, so he joins J.P., and they start talking about the running game. So Barber literally explains, and it's on JoeBucksFan.com, explains that he believes that that Ronald Jones may be better than Dalvin Cook, and he explains why, which that's very interesting. And then he talks about how he spent time during the bye week with Bruce Arians, and they talked about the running game. And Barber said, you know, the offense has to revolve around Rojo. And J.P. Peterson says to Barber, well, that's what Arians says, but he doesn't, that's not what we're seeing happening. So it's kind of hot air. And Barber then goes on a rant saying, blame Byron Leftwich. He says it twice. That's on Byron. That's on Byron. And that he's getting too impatient, like a lot of coordinators do. He puts it on Leftwich. And that makes everybody think, wait a minute, Brady's calling the plays. Arians the head coach. Arians is mentoring Leftwich. Why is the ultimate Bucks insider walking away telling people, hey, that's on Byron?
Well, first, he's getting it from only one source, Lee. We have to remember that. He's getting Arians' version. But I think there might be a little truth to it, Lee, in this respect. I think Arians is showing a little bit too much respect for Leftwich. He's too dwelling on, you know, Leftwich's future and getting him some interviews as a head coach and maintaining a little bit of a hands-off policy. And Lee, I dare say it's kind of not working right now. It's not working. You know, they scored 24 points each the last 2 weeks, two games. That's not a lot of points this day and age. They were averaging 29, so that's a letdown. Also, they're not ready to play offensively when the games start. And I think they have been guilty of abandoning the run too early. And a sage observer such as Derek Brooks who also knows the inner workings of One Buck Place, just like Rondé Barber. Lee, he tells me every week on our show, Tampa 2, run the football. and he can't believe that they just that they made Jones an afterthought, even after it was 17-0. Brooks thinks you can get back in the game by chipping away. You can't make up 17 points in one drive, Lee. And that's what he thinks, you know, it looks like the Bucks are trying to do. So I think at some point, you know, and maybe the Glazers are a factor at this point, you know, three quarters of the way in the season. Maybe they have a little discussion with Bruce Arians. It's their right to do so, Lee. I wouldn't be shocked if they had done that during the bye week and said, you got to get a little more involved and exert your will a little bit. We brought you in here, you. And let's get the job done. This game's too important. Lee, I think the Glazers might have had a little conversation with Mr. Arians. I don't think that's far-fetched.
Well, Ira, you just opened up a smorgasbord of topics in this last statement of yours. First off, I think it's fair to assume that Rondé is not getting this from just one source. Rondé, Steve didn't mention this in his preamble, that Rondé is very, very, very tight with White. He sits in on meetings. He's sort of like a kitchen cabinet member of White's inner circle. He's very tight with White. So I think it's fair to assume Rondé isn't just getting this from Bruce Arians. That's number one. Number two, you mentioned, you know, the Glazers might need to step in. Wasn't there a report prior to, or right around the time Arians got hired, that the Glazers had a little bit of hesitation on hiring Arians because they didn't know if they were hiring Arians or hiring Leftwich? There was some discussion about that, if I remember correctly. Well, if that's the case, their fears were valid. I think that's fair to say. And third, about Leftwich, they're hiding something. The Bucks are hiding something. Oh, it's Leftwich's issue. Oh, it's Brady calls the play. Just come out and say it. You know, it can't be this dysfunctional. Right now, from public statements and from what we hear from insiders, i.e. Rondé Barber, we really don't know who's calling the plays, who crafts the game plan, who has final say. It sounds incredibly dysfunctional. And as we've said on this podcast prior, it's time for Arians to be the adult in the room. His team, in theory, his offense, it's not getting the job done. Take the bull by the horns. If you got to take the play calling away from Brady, take away from Brady. If you got to take over the game plan crafting from Byron Leftwich, you do that. This just sounds so weird on so many levels. And to add icing to your cake, Ira, about what you opened up, the can of worms you opened up, I don't know if you heard the gibberish that Byron Leftwich said yesterday when he was asked, how come you don't call more play-action passes, which have been well-documented that Brady thrives in. The first thing he said was, I don't know. What are you, a grad assistant or something? I mean, what do you mean you don't know? You're supposed to be offensive coordinator. Okay, I appreciate the candor, but what do you mean you don't know? That's number one. And number two, he tried to scapegoat the running backs. We need to be more consistent running the ball. How can you be consistent more running the ball when you call four running plays in a whole freaking game? Give me a break.
Steve, I think Lee's making a lot of good points. Something's gone awry, Steve. And I think the only guy who can fix it is Arians, who's got the authority, if he wants to exert it, Steve, over Leftwich. I mean, Leftwich can't bitch anything to Arians if Arians puts his foot down. He's his boss. And he's also technically the boss of Tom Brady. But something's gone awry, Steve. Everything was fine when you're scoring 45 points against the Raiders. But, you know, in the third quarter of the season, they've only had one good offensive game, which was the second game against Carolina. And the other three games, they didn't show up. In the first quarter, or first half, they didn't show up, Steve. And you know I'm screaming about the defense, but, you know, the offense got to take its fair share. Something's gone awry a little bit, Steve. And hopefully it's been straightened out. Maybe they had a kumbaya meeting. But ultimately, this is on Arians, Steve. Ultimately, he's got to get this communication thing. You know, Bowles keeps talking about communication in the secondary, and the linebackers. Well, there's a communication gap on the offensive side of the ball, too, right now, Steve. And I think it's mostly in terms of game planning. That's where the gap is, and I hope Arians has fixed it, during these 2 weeks.
Well, they got a lot of cooks in the stew, Ira, and I have to say, when you mentioned awry earlier, I was sure you were going to start talking about corned beef, but that's not what happened. Anyway, Sage,
they do have too many cooks, Steve. That's the point. There's too many cooks.
Yeah,
you're right.
And I think what compounds it, Ira, what really compounds this as far as the Arians-Leftwich relationship is he knows, and Byron knows, that last year Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator for the team that scored the third most points in the NFL for the number one passing offense and the third most yards. So it's hard to sort of cut the balls off a guy you know has done it and knows the offense and you trust. And I think that makes it a little bit harder shaping the whole picture when it goes to Arians, but it is his responsibility. And I'm in your court, Ira. I just think, all right, you had plenty of time. Here we are. You had a bye week. Now's when you fix it and you score 30 points a game. You win the next four games and everybody's happy. And the season was a great success.
If they go 8-5, Lee, if they win this game, which I think they should, and you have trepidation, I don't blame you, Lee. You know, it's not a gimme with this team. And I don't care who they're playing right now. It wouldn't be a gimme. But, Lee, if they go 8-5, I think they got a pretty decent shot to go 11-5 and win out. And then they matched, my call. I said 11-5. And all would be well. Heading into the postseason, you got Brady. Keep him healthy. So there's a lot on the line, Lee. I think this conversation could be totally different, Lee, in our podcast next week. If the Bucks come out and resemble the team that started 6-2, what happened to that team, Lee? Where is that team?
That's a good question. Now, I don't know how valid this is. I know some fans are pointing fingers. I literally don't know if it's coincidence or not. Some people are saying Antonio Brown has ruined the offense. Well, I don't know how much of an impact Antonio Brown has had to ruin the offense. I also will say that the offense, a key element of Arians' offense, or is it Leftwich? Or is it Brady? I don't know. But a key element into the Bucks' offense, let's call it the Bucks' offense, because we don't know who's running it. A key element is stretching the field. And Antonio Brown can't stretch the field as well as Scotty Miller. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's accurate. I'm not really sure. But there's clearly a line of demarcation there when the Bucs signed Antonio Brown and the Bucs offense going south. And again, I don't know if that's just a timing coincidence or if defense has figured out Brady and the Bucs offense. I don't know that, but it's interesting timing, at least, you know, if you want to blame Brown, okay. But it's really, you know, from a fantasy football standpoint, it's hard to believe you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame tight end, a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver, a Hall of Fame caliber receiver, and a Pro Bowl receiver, and you can't score points. That just doesn't add up, man.
Ira, I'm going to just jump into it here since we started the podcast in this sort of vein. You went there, so these are real no surprises here, so I'm just going to get them out of the way. I am going to first I want to note a news nugget.
Oh.
It's actually good news. Julio Jones, bad for him, but Julio Jones is not going to play Sunday, and our friend of the podcast, D. Orlando Ledbetter, the longtime Falcons beat writer, says the Falcons are considering shutting Julio down for the rest of the season, and if so, if the Bucs get two games without Julio Jones, given where the Bucs' weaknesses lie, that is a huge, huge loss for the Falcons and a huge benefit for the Bucks.
Absolutely. And you know what that would eliminate? That would eliminate Lee and I going on a podcast in a couple of weeks saying, why was Sean Murphy bunting following Julio Jones all over the field instead of Carlton Davis? We would have had that discussion. He's a known buck killer, just like Michael Thomas in years past, not this year, but years past, was a buck killer. Certain guys, you know, and they're great receivers, let's be honest.
Sage, I'm picking the Bucks to win 31-20. I just have to believe the talent is better. The Vikings don't have a pass rush. I wrote up a story. Mike Zimmer actually admitted it on the radio, which I thought was hilarious. You never hear that. And he literally said they don't have a pass rusher. And he talked about some guy who's looks like he could be one, a fourth round pick of a rookie that they have who has three sacks. The guy also is currently on the injured list now with a back injury and an ankle injury, and he didn't play last week. And that's the guy Mike Zimmer's pointing to. So I just think the Bucs haven't lost yet to a team that cannot rush the passer. So I'm going to hope that sticks, and that's where I'm at.
Pretty good analysis there, Steve. Lee, what do you say?
I'm going to go with the Bucs, but deep down inside me, it's there's a little devil saying, "Don't be dumb." But I'm going to go with the Bucs. I do not like this matchup at all. If I was going to put money down, I would not be putting money on the Bucs. But my heart tells me the Bucs will find a way to win. Interesting stats. It's Steve's talking about pass rushing and Vikings. They had Yannick. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name because I can't. I read this stat this week. With Yannick, the Vikings were, I want to say, 1-5. Without Yannick, they were 5-2. And since Yannick went to the Ravens, they are, I want to say, 3-5. It makes you go,
Wow.
Yeah, they've been better off without the pass rush for whatever reason. It's going to be a hard stopper. You know, people are going to take their Xarelto. I'm going to predict 35-34 on a Ryan suck up 38-yard field goal as time expires.
Very specific, Steve. I'm scared because we all picked the Bucs to beat the Chiefs. I think we might have all picked the Bucs to beat the Saints the second time around. I know I did. So that's a cautious note for this pick. But I'm with you guys. I'm more towards Steve than I am Lee. I say 34-20 Bucs. And Steve, as you astutely pointed out, there's no reason for Brady not to have a very good day on Sunday. I mean, there's no reason. He's healthy. The Bucs are rested. The Vikings' pass defense is very average. Their pass rush is below average. And, Steve, I got everything going on Brady here. Little Rojo. There's no reason the Bucs shouldn't get back to their winning ways and look good doing it, Steve. Look good doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the Vikings are starting two rookie corners. You know, two rookie corners and all. I mean, it's just, no matter how much I try, that whiff of stank keeps coming out of the den of depression and infecting my nose. Yeah, I just have to push it away, Ira. You know, I just hope that they don't screw this up. I find it interesting, Lee, basically with that 35-34 score, is predicting a collapse of the Buccaneers' defense after a bye week to try to get things right. A complete collapse, which is, in my opinion, what it would be if you allow 34 points to the Vikings.
I respect that their receivers that much. And given the fact that Cousins is still good on the blitz, I just don't like that matchup.
Steve, I got a question. Is it fair to say, I think it is. Is it fair to say this is the biggest game for the Bucs since those last three games in 2016 when they were 8-5 and in control of their playoff destiny? They went into Dallas. Didn't win, went into New Orleans, didn't win, and that was it for them. Won their last game to finish 9-7. But Steve, fair to say that since those final three games of, I guess that was Cutter's first season, this is the biggest game, I think, since then.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, it's a playoff game. It's December. They were 8-5 in that game, and I went back and looked at that game, Ira. The sad thing is that they were leading going into the fourth quarter in Dallas, and the offense completely fell apart. I believe their last four possessions, they had two three and outs, a pick, and a big nothing. So, it's that critical. It's a playoff game. You lose to the Vikings, and I can't even say it, Ira. The insanity starts to ooze from my ears.
Steve, is that the game where that guy David Irving, who nobody ever heard of before or since, absolutely terrorized? It might have been Gosder Cherilus. Yep. I can't remember.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Cherilus was hurt. He completely broke down in the fourth quarter, and Irving went wild, and he single-handedly won that game for the Cowboys. Ira, I will say this is the most important game. This is the most important game for the franchise since the Bucks tanked against the Saints to end the 2013 season, thereby, or was it 2014
right.
season, thereby sealing the deal that they were able to draft Mr. Entertainment, America's quarterback, Pro Bowler Jameis Winston. That's the biggest game since then. Hey, guys, what's gonna happen to Winston? I mean, what's going to happen to this guy next year?
Look, we got a playoff game, Ira. No more Winston talk. Let's see what happens here.
Good answer, Steve. Good answer. We got all offseason to talk about.
Right. One thing that I thought was interesting looking back at that game, Ira, that game you referenced in Dallas. First, it's historic for JoeBucksFan.com because it got Lee to coin the phrase and put it into the vernacular, swinging saloon doors, which stuck for quite a while as it relates to Gazzer Chehrilis' performance. The other thing, Ira, the guy who really came to play in that game for the Bucks was Quan Alexander. 21 combined tackles in that game and a forced fumble left it all on the field. And I bring that up only because the Bucks really need somebody on defense, somebody, I believe, on Sunday to really step through and have a huge, put this team on my back kind of game.
It's funny you said that, Steve, because today's column will focus on exactly that. And I won't even tell you who it is, but you're right. One person must step up to the plate, and I'm going to nominate somebody.
Well, there you go, Ira. So, look, we are keeping it shorter today because there's not much to say. We've talked it out. Every Bucks fan listening knows that Sunday is a critical game, as Lee said, in the direction of the franchise, especially as it relates to the fan perspective, which is, what we're talking about here. I don't really care what, Antonio Brown's perspective is on the future of the fan franchise. You can't lose this game and have the respect of your fan base. And that's what's going to erode big time if they don't win this here. So Sage, get us out of here on some wisdom.
I got the perfect way to end this podcast, Lee, because it's approaching high noon and Mr. Arians will be on a Zoom call in a few minutes. And I can't wait to get on there and raise my hand and ask him, if he's going to get a ride on Tom Brady's new boat. Can't wait to ask him, Lee. Can't wait to ask him.
Wait. This is the same guy that said he didn't care where Brady bought his house or what he buys.
No. You talked me into it, Lee. You said everybody's interested in Brady's boat. That trumps any football questions. Not even close, Lee. That's called being sarcastic, Lee. You haven't won me over one bit. I'm all about football, and I'll let you handle the weather. You can handle the weather.
All right, get out of here, Ira.